I'm Mark Ramsey, Executive Director of the Ministry Collaborative.
And I'm Jennifer Watley Maxell, the Program Curator for the Ministry Collaborative. Obviously, we are living in a time of seismic shifts.
And these podcasts are often recorded ahead of time. This recording was done before the global health crisis caused by COVID-19.
And also before the most recent painful and poignant examples of racial injustice in our society.
The Ministry Collaborative seeks to promote and nurture deep and searching conversations about God's activity in the world
and our place in it.
And so, with all that,
we commend this podcast to you. Welcome to the Ministry Collaborative Podcast,
a series of honest conversations about opportunities,
challenges,
and joy in ministry today.
I'm Adam Mixon, Content Curator.
I'm Adam Borneman, Program Director.
I'm Jennifer Maxell, Program Curator.
And I'm Mark Ramsey, Executive Director of the Ministry Collaborative.
A project of the Macedonian Ministry Foundation, the Ministry Collaborative nurtures a national network of pastors and congregations
committed to faithful, creative, and courageous engagement in their communities.
Every day, we are inspired by ministry leaders from across the country who are exploring possibilities,
learning from broad perspectives,
taking risks,
and who are eager to join candid discussions that generate disruptive creativity.
Hi, this is Adam Borneman. I have the pleasure of sitting here with my wonderful colleagues, Jennifer Watley Maxell, Mark Ramsey, Adam Mixon. And we want to have a conversation about truth telling, and specifically in the context that we are in, a social media context where everything you say is under a microscope and a million miles wide to 1,000 people in a heartbeat. There's a unique type of scrutiny and pressure that people who have a public voice are under. And we wonder, what's the risk? What's the cost of pastoral ministry in that sort of context? What does it mean to be a truth teller? We think a lot about the scriptures. Jesus talk about telling the truth in love. Well, what is that in 2020 in ministry in this culture? What does it mean that Jesus is the truth? So I put that on the table for us today. Let's talk about telling the truth.
Immediately, what comes to mind to me is that there's a lot of fighting going on inside the church, outside the church. Communities are caustic. And those of us who believe ourselves to be righteous can sometimes take the truth and weaponize it in a way that is more divisive rather than leading toward the hope of some type of reconciliation. Now, what I don't mean there is that we water down what is truth or what is contrary to what we believe as people of faith, but there's a way of delivering it in such a way that we're not contributing to the existing fray. We have to be saying things in a way that is different than how opinions are being formed and presented in our current culture. And that's a lonely place because it means that you can't align with this side or that side. You're going to be an equal opportunity offender, right? Which means you're going to be on an island. But I think that's one of the responsibilities that we accept as God's ministers. And if we start cowering too much, it may be time to find a new job.
Well, and I think we are operating in an age where truth itself is under attack, that what we value and what we ascribe the value of truth to has changed, that now opinions and untruths are now, alternative facts are now becoming a thing. And I feel like people are really searching and striving and looking for something that they can really stand on and something that they can really build upon. And we have that in Jesus Christ and the gospel. And so for me, it is to add the balm in Gilead. It is to be able to soothe people's angst and their anxiety, not with more false promises, not with political agendas, not with more opinions and more elevated voices, but really with the truth of the word that really cuts through all of those dynamics. And it requires of us courage to be able to stand in our authenticity as Christians. I think it's Brené Brown that talks about authenticity as a daily practice of showing up as who we really are. And in this day and age, that's a tall order for those of us who are Christians, and it's a tall order for those of us who are pastors, because we are under attack. And no longer are we just subject to the people in our congregations, but we're subject to people who've never been in church, who don't know us, who just see a quote randomly on the internet and decide to make us their dinner for the day.
And by the way, a little bit more on those who are not in the church. I think it was Barna that did a survey a few years ago that if you ask people who know nothing about church and you're presented a list of names, Franklin Graham, Mother Teresa, Pope Francis, all sorts of people across the spectrum, there is no difference to people who do not already know who those people are. So while we inside the church are fighting over, oh no, what you need to understand is we're not them, people outside find that a complete turnoff, not attractional, and not helpful at all. Beyond that, I think we've got to be careful too. There's a false dichotomy if we think all we've got to do is find the perfect place of balance between pastoral and prophetic, if you will, and that's where the truth-telling is. First of all, I think that's going to constantly be moving depending on what's out there. But also, every pastor, every follower of Jesus has got to find the place where they feel called to stand and talk about these things. And hopefully that's a place of tenderness and sensitivity, as well as boldness.
What I hear us say that I really appreciate is that it's no longer sufficient in our culture, and maybe never was, but it is certainly not now sufficient to simply distinguish between telling something that's true and telling something that's false, but it's also modeling truth. It's also giving expression to it in your life as a true person, as an authentic person, also along the lines of what Mark says. I always remember this wonderful scene from The Big Lebowski. I think you all know what a wonderful film that is. The two main characters, Walter and the dude, played by Jeff Bridges, get in this big argument. And Walter finally says, am I wrong? Am I wrong? He says, no, you're not wrong. You're just a jerk. So it wasn't the fact that what he was saying was wrong, but the situation had devolved into chaos because of the way he was going about it. And the church has to be very careful about this. You know, there's so many times where I've heard someone say something that's true. And I'll say, you know, you're not wrong, but could you totally redo the way you're saying this, because the witness is being crushed under the weight of how you're doing this. So it's so important not only to say the truth, but also to say it in love, right? I mean, there's this idea of the truth in love. And I would go as far as to say is that, you know, if we're not telling the truth in love, I'm not so sure it's the truth. I think it betrays something about the truth itself.
Now, that being said, I would press back just a little bit against the idea of being a jerk. That's a subjective kind of statement. And I think that when you're dealing with a dominant culture that demonizes those in the margins, any raised voice is marked as being not civil. So while you're protesting or raising your voice against injustice, you get marked as being uncivil or aggressive or the angry one. And again, because for years, my counterparts, my white counterparts in pulpits have kind of sewed into that. You know, they've helped to promote this reality that this is normative. And anything outside of this is the other. And I think that's problematic. So my challenge to my white brothers and sisters who are serving churches is, like, what do I do? How do I help? I'm like, go back and tell your folks the truth. Don't invite me in to be your hired gun to come in and drop a bomb and leave. No, you do it. And you do it consistently. Tell the truth so that when you go home at night, you can sleep.
That's good. Yeah.
Another part of that is that the thing that makes the church unique among institutions is that we are a spiritually based institution. And that I think sometimes we are so busy trying to get our opinions and our information across that it is the how. And there is a movement of the Spirit that I believe when we talk about telling the truth in love, you can be very strong, you can be very even dogmatic in your language, but when the Spirit is there, and the Spirit is to me what gives our utterances that truth power to stand on, that is the thing that really has the sticking power. But that means that we have to make sure we are in the Spirit when we speak truth. And that, you know, so many times we are kind of shooting from the hip about what we think and what we feel. So I think as people of faith, for us to be able to step back and make sure that what we are saying is aligned with the Spirit, And I think that there are plenty of ways for us to do that, to recognize that while there is the truth of the gospel, that we all have different lenses upon that truth, and to be able to allow space in the conversation for those voices and those lenses to then interact, as opposed to feeling like we need to come from this one place that we can all agree on.
It's a spirit that will lead you into truth. That's a good reminder.
Yeah, we're not called to be pundits. We're called to be pastors. Mm-hmm. And there's a big difference. So it's not just speaking the truth. It's what truth are we speaking? Mm-hmm. The gospel, if proclaimed into this world, is a radical word that is disruptive.
Yes.
We do not need to add on to that what we read in The Nation or on Atlantic's blog or something like that. We have it right there. After the horrible weekend where there was the El Paso shooting and then the Dayton shooting, which was on a Saturday, which seems to happen, which means pastors around the country are scrambling, what do I change? What do I keep? How do I do this? On one of the sites where pastors are sharing, there was this sort of what do we do now? I'll never forget two responses on that. One was, well, there goes my sermon on Jeremiah. I'm just going to have a conversation about guns. The other was, well, looking at the headlines, preaching on the Sermon on the Mount seems pathetic now. And I'm like, seriously? Jeremiah? The Sermon on the Mount? We don't need another word than that. Those words have power, they have truth, and they will provoke a deeper reflection on love and justice and righteousness and wholeness. Somewhere, somehow, it seems like there was a secret meeting where we all voted that the gospel of Jesus Christ wasn't powerful enough to stand up to this world. I reject that.
And I think there's been so many situations where the gospel has been corrupted, where it has been co-opted by politics and business and all these other entities, where we've kind of given it over to them and said, oh, well, you know what, since you're using that, I'm going to go use somebody else, or I'm going to go, you know, lean on something else. I think part of it is for us to really lean into Jesus's true character as a radical who came against culture in the sense that he was not trying to fit into culture. He was very comfortable being countercultural. And we've kind of adopted this, what I call the new cultural Jesus. Well, Jesus is just nice.
A chameleon.
You know, Jesus is nice. He's your friend. He's going to come and give you a hug, and he's going to just bless everything that you want to do. And
amen.
We've kind of cut Jesus off at the legs. And to reclaim that radical Jesus, that is, you know, like, hey, this is who I am. And if you don't like it, then you won't get down with it. And we're okay with that. Jesus let people walk away. Everybody that came into contact with him did not believe and was not a believer.
I think that the great pain of all of that, number one, is that there is a cost associated with that. Now, there are people who put their jobs on the line if they talk the way we talk in the context where they serve. God willing, the Spirit will guide them into a way of engaging in a way that's going to be fruitful. But if we don't do this work, what we will find is that as a church, we will embrace the obscene mm-hmm. in lieu of being offensive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's a travesty.
The cost of not telling the truth may
yeah.
well be greater than the cost of telling it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I find myself feeling very tenderly toward church leaders who are trying to do this, because it's really hard.
It is.
And I think we need to offer grace on that. And at the same time, I personally, and for all of us, I hope we feel compelled to wrestle hard with this. You know, so it really is both a tenderness and an urgency that has to meet somewhere. This has got to be God's doing, because I know I'm not able to pull this off, but we both need the urgency and the tenderness in trying to do it.
And I think to be able to support each other in doing it, mm-hmm. that when we see people who are out there, like you said, Mark, even if it's not exactly perfect and if it's not exactly right, for us not to jump on the bandwagon of problematizing what these said and pointing out the minutia of where they didn't exactly get it right, but for us again to operate in love and to support and to hold up those voices, because they don't need us coming after them from Inusha, because the world is already coming after it.
That's right.
Yeah, I think what is not an option, though, is whether or not we actually commit to it.
Absolutely.
We have to live in that tension between the pastoral and the prophetic. It's not an option. We don't get to preach ice cream castles and
puppies and rainbows,
unicorns, and no, that, and that's not what people need. Right. They are well sated on junk, mm-hmm. right? Sometimes we have to deliver the bitter medicine.
The other thing is maybe a last comment, thinking particularly of preaching. There's the text, there's the preacher, and there's the congregation. My view is what we don't need are more pastors who take the text and beat up on the congregation.
Yes.
What we need is the preacher, the pastor, standing with the congregation over against the Word of God, saying, we have an urgent need to wrestle with this.
Thank you for listening to the Ministry Collaborative Podcast.
Our producer is Marthame Sanders.
To find out more about us and our work of cultivating leadership that makes a difference in congregations and communities,
visit our website
at www.ministrycollaborative.org.